Beverly, you wanted to ask Diane some questions.
Can emotions become trapped or stuck in our bodies?
No.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Did you say I was afraid you'd say that?
Yeah, I was afraid he would say no.
Yeah, there's an emotion. What would you say about that, Ion? Beverly going into the words about fear.
It's really not about fear. It's
what's your question, Beverly? Restate it. What are we talking about?
I was wondering if most emotions can become trapped in our bodies and create havoc.
No.
What people call blocks, emotional blocks in the muscle. Is that true, Ion? Is that a pattern, Ion?
Patterns are weird. We don't like the word patterns because you don't know what it means.
Well, but you're not responding to her question. Is there a reason? You want her
we
to ask
did. We've done it every way we can do. We said no, emotions don't get trapped in the body. We said, but all that other jibber-jibber, glab-glab, glab-a-dab, dab-dab don't mean anything, so there's no reason to confuse people with that. And so we were just kind of moving on until you moved to something a little more meaningful, apparently.
Okay, next question, Beverly.
You told us once that emotions are tea.
Yes, tale of tea, tea leaves, silver-tipped oolong jasmine tea. Tea.
No, you say
yes,
tea.
From Hanoi. No, we're saying
tea.
Tea.
Tea is in
from Tom. Hanoi.
T-A.
From
emotions
Hanoi.
Are, emotions
a
are
tale of tea. Yeah,
I like
a tale of tea.
Tea.
He uses the phrase tale of tea. From the beginning, he's used that.
Yep.
So there were a tale
before
of
there
tea,
was an itch.
Like,
before there was scratch from itch.
Does that mean that they're trivial ion surface froth when you say a tale
maybe,
of tea?
Maybe. Until
maybe,
you mean
maybe.
Something more serious. Because we did a bunch of words and no one's come back to that yet. So maybe it's like the lampstands. It's oblivious.
Yeah, when Ion did the tale of tea with us, Beverly, it was showing how, you know, a butterfly's wings in Ceylon affecting the rainfall, affecting the tea crop, or someone tripping and affecting what was picked that day. And, you know, the beans went somewhere and were processed, and long journey for anything to happen, and anything could happen to it along the way. Does that give a bit of an explanation for it, Ion?
Yeah, and it explains where that Godzilla coming from. Because it's coming. Godzilla coming.
So I misunderstood
you. Are you talking about the chaos butterfly effect, Carol?
Not directly butterfly.
No,
I shouldn't have even mentioned butterfly.
No, that's okay. You're fine. It's that ricochet. That's great. Nothing wrong with that butterfly thing. You can clean that mess up. What you said, the way you said it, was correct. All that other gobble-gobble stuff doesn't mean anything. They'll figure it all out soon enough either way, so it's okay.
You know, Carolyn, a lot of people got gigs the last 30 years saying emotions were blocked in the body. That's a lot of the alternative medicine thinks that idea.
Right.
And
well, I mean, you know, the
true,
ion.
But if that's true, they can't heal them. If they get stuck, then they can't heal them. Uh-oh. Get the bat.
Right. And the ion premise is that that there aren't emotions, and what is it? Love is not an emotion, so that...
No, there are emotions.
Well, no, it sets us up for being detached from our emotions rather than being
Let's ask the question like this. If you take a Louisville slugger and you bury it to the white meat in somebody's small base of their skull, can you remove the bat or does it get lodged in the meat sack?
No, it bounces off.
Got it. Okay, see, there you go. There's your answer, darling.
But isn't a bat different than an emotion?
Maybe. Depends on how you're swinging it, isn't it?
No, a bat is a bat. It's a solid thing.
Great. So is an emotion. Emotion is a solid thing. It's very solid. It can make you cry worse than a bat if they smack you with it, right? It can lay you out. It can put you in the cold, 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 bitter ground. It can separate you from everything you've ever known and loved. It can move you to capacities and to heights that you could never achieve otherwise. You can hit a ball out of the park soaking in emotion. So, it's relative.
Well, if emotions seem to be that powerful, why don't they lodge within you?
They don't. They can't. Emotions are not absorbed.
So does that mean their frequency is not such that they relate to the body's frequency? How will we explain that?
Oh, you won't. You won't explain that because the little man is not going to get it anyway. And so it'll just be a fool's errand trying to show them, prove to them that their fingernails grow. You can't explain why fingernails grow, but yet they do. You can't explain where they come from. You can tell what they are, but you don't know how your body even produces it to make your fingernails, how the nail bed attaches, how if you take the nail bed off, it still grows a fingernail anyway. You just can't figure all that stuff out, so you just kind of go with it. So this is one of those, you just got to go with it.
Okay, but in certain therapies, and I've even seen it, when you trigger a remembrance of something, either with a story or a bit of hypnosis or massage, people will remember something in the past, start crying, quote, release that emotion, and they feel better.
Okay. Yes, and there's a loss of relief when you stop hitting them in the head with a bat. Every time you stop hitting them, they always feel better afterwards. So, yeah, same thing.
Can't really see that. It's
If you stop hitting yourself in the head with a bat, you'll feel better.
So is bringing it up in a pain and an emotion, bringing that up in therapy, bringing it to the surface, is that stopping the constant barrage of it, exposing it to the light?
Doesn't that you're trying to mix tail of tea with burning in the belly. It's not in the belly to burn. It doesn't work that way. If you can say that I'm affected by this, or it moves me or drives me or pushes me, or I'm driven or blah, 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 all that kind of stuff is not from the same context. So the end of the road, you're going to get an answer, but it won't meet your question.
Okay, Beverly, do you want to continue on?
No, I don't think so.
We were being sweet.
Oh, you're a darling, yes.
We'll answer.
You just had questions about emotions.
Ask us personal stuff that's not about emotions, something that you're not supposed to do. We'll play with that.
That crazy lady that I met in the laundry room, is she messing with my laundry?
No, she's not messing with your laundry, but she will if you let her.
Did she put the screw in the laundry room keyhole?
No, she did not do that, but she thought about it.
Who did it then?
Henry.
Is he another tenant here in this building?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
He's a visitor.
Who did he visit?
We didn't say.
Did he visit
do you
that
mean
crazy
from another
lady?
World, or he's in the neighborhood, Ion? Is he visiting from another world?
No, not another world.
Does he visit the crazy laundry lady?
Sometimes.
So he's doing her bidding for her, huh?
Apparently.
All right. Okay.
Got any other, Beverly?
Yeah. What secret thing are they constructing on the corner of McCormick and Oakton? I think technically it's in Skokie.
A prism.
A prison or a prism?
Prism, like catcher of light, prism.
Okay. It's just a flat area now. They worked and worked and worked on this, and it's still flat.
Yes. It makes
there were
it
mounds
prism.
Of rock. What's this prism? Let's see. Is the government doing this?
Oh, no. They couldn't afford it.
Is it something secret?
A king in his counting house, counting out his money.
Is this prism going to have an effect on the local area or something?
Certainly.
Is this going to be a desirable effect, or is it going to...
For whom?
It's crazy.
For whom? Desirable for whom?
Yeah.
No, Beverly, you got to specify.
No, that's a question. Is it, who's it supposed to please in the light? Them or you or your dog or... The man who's diddling the crazy laundry lady, or Henry, or the other guy, he's really prolific. So, you know, what's going on really there? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who benefit to who?
And they did spill the chlorine bleach that made the big stain thing too, but that's another conversation. So, yeah, like dogs, living like dogs.
Is there a big stain there, Beverly?
I don't remember a bleach stain in anything.
Okay. Who are you saying is it of benefit? You got to be particular.
Okay. Is it going to be of benefit to the people that live in the area?
Computer says no.
Are we not going to like the effect of it?
Computer says you won't notice.
Will you tell me what kind of effect this prism is going to have on us?
It's in Bob's inbox.
Yeah, that song is called Toby Keith. You Ain't Much Fun is the name of the song.
Did you know it was a prism, Beverly?
No, no. All I've seen was giant mountains of rocks being brought in, and they would disappear. I don't know where they went. I assume they went underground or something. But now it's just a big flat area, and they got a fence around it that you can't see through, but there's a bridge nearby that you can see over the fence a little bit, and there's just nothing there. It's just flat. And they've done all this work and nothing there. It just looks suspicious.
Ooh, we love suspicious.
Yeah, good mystery.
Okay, you got another question?
No, not right now.
You sound lazy, Beverly. What's so lackadaisical about you? Are you on the drops?
It's in your inbox, Bob. I already told you.
You're not having much fun, Beverly, right?
Well, that's relative, I guess.
Well, if you're having fun, you ain't talking relativity. But why do you sound not so forceful? Why do you sound weak?
Well, it's just kind of the way that I've always been. I just had a hot bath, and I'm very relaxed.
That's
right.
Okay. So do you take the drops or Remag or anything?
Yeah, I take the drops.
Of course, she'd be stone cold dead already if she didn't do that, Bob. You know this, for goodness sake.
So the drops are keeping you going, Beverly?
Evidently, yeah.
All right. Do you have a good feeling from them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get a chance to come back and check on you if you have another question. Let's see who else. Thank you, Beverly. Let's see. Kevin has a question.
Go ahead, Kevin, but don't forget later in a little bit play her song, Bob.
Right, right. Are you Kevin? 937-710?
No, I'm not Kevin.
Oh, this is Kyle?
Ben.
You're Ben.
Ben is dead, remember?
Dead.
Oh, you mean Ben? Ben in Florida?
No, Ben is dead.
I don't remember that. Have you talked to Ian before, Ben?
I've heard him laugh. That's about it.
Wow.
Do you have a question for Ben? You have your hand up. Do you have a question for Ian?
No, I knew where, when she was talking about the rocks disappearing, I knew where they went.
Which rocks? That Beverly's talking about?
Yeah, about the prism. Yeah, I know where those rocks went.
Where'd they go?
In my fucking pipe.
Okay, I remember, Ben. We've talked on what youth? What youth? You were a friend of little Sarah. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So you don't have a question. Okay, we're moving on. You're
no,
the rocks.
Yeah.
You claim the rocks in her neighborhood, which is near Skokie, Illinois, is in your pipe bowl.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Yeah, I want to smoke what you're smoking.
I want to get on what you've got, what you're on.
What is it? Is it Throp?
What? Bro? Speak clearly. What? He said, bro? What's that mean?
No, I'm just playing. I'm just listening
to you
guys.
Yeah, you're just playing. We're not playing, Ben. This is a serious operation. Okay, Allison, you got some questions?
Hi, Ion.
Hey, Sugar Dove.
So, were there other people who were taking the drop at the playa on Burning Man? At Burning Man?
Yes.
And were there ascended beings?
Yes, several.
Was one of them the man that I saw in center camp?
Yes.
Susan Sarandon went on a local TV show and said she was there, and they took Timothy Leary's ashes to spread them out there. Is he dead?
Ooh, yes.
Ooh as in Timothy Leary, or ooh as in spreading the ashes, or what?
Yes, E-W-U.
Are you going you at the mention of Tim and Leary, Ion?
Who is Tim and Leary?
No, Tim Leary. Are you going you in disgust at the name Tim Leary?
All of it together.
Spreading the ashes and him.
You're disgusted, you are indifferent, you like him, you dislike him. You're quadriphenic?
I wish you could take a Louisville Slugger and hit it like an emotion.
Okay, well, we'll figure that one out later. Go ahead, Allison.
Well, that was kind of interesting, actually. I wish you could take the hit it like an emotion, since we were talking about emotions with Beverly. Emotions have come up a lot. I heard Carolyn trying to go there with this, too, because I think a lot of us were trained, and you could probably help me with this, Carolyn, to think that emotions were something we stored in our body in different organs, different places, and you couldn't, you know, once you moved them out, then you were supposedly cleaner and closer to ascension, and so that is not the case. Ion, is
not
that what you were saying?
Yes, but not systemically.
So does that mean it's more etherically?
Mostly, yes.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense, but the systemic, what?
It helps.
To clear them or to know the difference?
Yes.
Systemically makes me think that it's the body, the physical body.
Well, no, systemically means it's not the physical body. Systemically means that it's inclusive or throughout, affecting whatever it is. If it's systemically, that's how it applies.
So it's more than just the physical body.
Right, it is more.
It sounds like you're saying the emotions reside more in the etheric body, which is not the systemic body. Or maybe I should ask, where do the emotions lie?
Well, emotion. Well, you got to get to the burning in the belly to figure that one out.
Well, you've traditionally said in the inner kingdom, Ion.
Well, that's the same place.
As what? Burning in the belly?
Yes, Bob.
So the burning in the belly.
The answer is empirically yes, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You've made a big importance, I would say, about the burning of the belly as kind of the root of many things.
In the belly, Allison, in the belly.
Ah, burning in the belly. Thank you, my grammarian, Bob. So the burning in the belly, being the inner kingdom, it seems when you address it from that point, everything out from there corrects in the system. I can't say it that way, I bet.
No, and that's not a question. Make it a question.
To look at the burning in the belly, in your own belly, and know that that is where it feels best, does that emanate out into the outer kingdom?
It would include the outer kingdom, yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell me about the burning in the belly regarding to myself?
We would suggest you talk to Dr. Dean.
In a private session?
No, no.
She don't play that.
Now.
She don't play that way no more. Homie don't play that.
No, I'm gone. It's no more fun. So what I have in notes, let's go there. Ion and I were talking about the burning in the belly. I think they started off with, when you understand the aspirations and goals of the simplest task and how much of your heaven and earth actually has to be moved to attain that simple creation, you experience what we refer to as burning in the belly. So let me say that again. When you understand the aspirations and goals of the simplest task and how much of your heaven and earth actually has to be moved to attain that simple creation, you experience what we refer to as burning in the belly. Getting excited about the simplest things creates a burning in the belly. Even the act of drinking a cup of tea can be an electrifying experience. So I said, I'd like to talk about burning in the belly and how it relates to the hara. Ion. Hara is the middle part of the chakras. For the women folks, it would be the womb. It's that part, you know, the uterus, fallopian tubes, burning in the belly is when you start coming into the place of alignment, when you are hitting on all cylinders. The hara is in the middle part of the chakras and the body. So I thought the hara was more the umbilical, so I don't know if we go to that, but Ion, isn't the hara the umbilical and not the lower womb chakra?
No, it's inclusive. It's more than the, it's just a little south of the umbilical. It would be below the belly button.
So burning in the belly is not, you know, exactly in the chakra system. It's itself, its own criteria, correct?
Correct, that's right.
Yes, and then you say it's your centeredness, and it does encompass the belly button area. We could discuss the details of the outside of the belly button or the inside of the belly button, but it's not necessary. What's important is that those chakras are, whether or not you recognize them or believe they exist, those chakras are activated whether you think you use them or not. Those chakras are working whether you have snot clogging your third eye or not.
Yum. So we like that part. That sounds like a snot. Yeah, snot in your third eye blind. The third eye blind.
Quoted you. Yeah. And then you talk about, you know, sealing up your eyeballs with mud. I don't know if that relates to this. Okay.
Make an eye salve out of the spittle and smear it on your eyes. Yep.
Right. Okay, so then after a few pages of that, I ask, how do you recognize the burning in the belly? Ion, you don't have to. If you spend your energy looking at the best parts of what you are wanting and allow them to come, then what happens is they just come. They sneak up on you that way. You can get completely jazzed up on almost anything. Your psychologist might even say that a person is obsessed with something or addicted to something, because they give it their full attention. We say that it's the attention you put on something that brings it to you. I say, can people be activated in their hara chakra and mistake it for heartburn? And I said, no, because isn't it the same activation when you have too many hot chili peppers and you have indigestion? Apparently I laughed. And then isn't that the same thing, though? Think about it. It's introducing and activating. It's introducing something foreign, the chili peppers, in you that's not so settling with the acidic balance of the belly. That would be the reality. So then that goes on for a bit. I don't know. We don't have to do it all.
Doing really good. It's very nice. See how easy it is when Dr. Dean does it. She just cuts through all the bullshit and gets to the good parts. It's so great.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's the point. Any experience can be an activation, and that's why the tale of tea is very important, Carolyn. If you really appreciate what it takes for you to drink a cup of tea, and that's what actually we talked about an hour or so ago, that the tale of tea is watching the journey of tea from ground to stomach.
Okay, I got a question here. When Beverly wanted to do belly dancing, was she responding to something in her belly, burning in the belly, Aya?
No. She was just trying to shake the moneymaker.
Okay. Now, Eliza has a good question, Carolyn. She says, she types this, there are many words on how detoxing helps clear old and stuck emotions from the body. If Aya says they are not in the body, then where are they?
About the body.
Yeah, people show the auras and the etheric, the subtle bodies around, but that's largely emotions, or would it include the etheric and what people imagine they're drawing?
It's more than a feeling. Remember the song, More Than a Feeling?
So we really
more than emotions is what you're saying, Ion. Emotions are around, but other they're mixed in with subtle energies?
Better things, yes.
Better things? Is that what you're saying? Better?
Yes.
Is that what he said? Yeah, okay.
More
so we
better.
Really do. Yeah, I'm trying to say, so we really do walk around with these little balloon bubbles over our head where it's got a little tiny ribbon to this balloon with the label of our emotion or our pain in it. We have those all around our exterior ion.
Like daubers, yes.
Like wetters?
Daubers. When you daub up something, you feel like a dauber.
Yeah. Now, let me just wrap up this file I have on burning in the belly, because guess what it goes into? Guess what, Ion?
What?
It goes into the tale of tea.
Don't say.
Yeah. And then I say, well, I think in terms of burning in the belly, we're getting off topic. You've gone into a topic of looking at it from your perspective, the source perspective, that we just keep on adding new toys. This is the tale of tea went into just kind of attracting, and I don't know that we ever concluded the burning in the belly. So can... You said yay?
Oh, God. We did.
Okay. Yes. So with burning in the belly, then the summing up would be that burning in the belly is what lets you know when you're in a frequency with something that you're attracted to or something that you like, or would that be the final definition of it?
Also, it could also be cancer.
Cancer?
Could be, sure.
Yeah. It's a position. Burning in the belly is a position.
It's a juxtaposable condition.
That would involve proprioception, wouldn't it, Ion?
Every time.
So burning in the belly is a juxtaposable position, Allison.
Yeah, so what do you have to say? You have something to say, Allison, to continue?
That seems interesting that it isn't, you know, goes back to the not bad or good that we are embracing and eyeing them. Or just with our godship, there's no bad or good. So I wonder how that affects how you transmute it through your body. I think that's the idea about...
Transpose, not transmuted.
So is there something relevant about how we move? Let me phrase it like this. Does the burning of the belly have the power when you focus on it to transpose whatever is that burning into whatever you want it to be. So if you have cancer.
No, because, yeah, no, but you don't eat cancer, and then because you eat cancer, you get cancer. That's not how that works. Then they say things cause cancer that you eat, that it's cancer, carcinogen, just that and the other. But it doesn't give everybody cancer. It just gives some people who want cancer cancer. So the juxtaposing position is if it's cancer-causing, why doesn't it cause cancer in everybody? And the answer is?
With what you just said, it's the way I transpose the
yes. And you
burning.
Stir it up and move it and layer it and lay it in a different way. And the burning of the belly settles it or sets it or gets it completely gone. Or you can catch cancer, but you can't get rid of it, apparently. Y'all can do everything else, but you can't seem to kill everything in the world, but you can't seem to kill cancer. So we'd say get a whole lot of that. That's the good stuff.
Because even if you had a whole lot of it, if you were transposing it in your burning of your belly, in a way that it didn't affect you in a quote-unquote negative way, it wouldn't matter if it sat in there for however many eons or moons.
Well, that's the treatment is what kills you. It isn't the cancer.
That's an interesting twist, in a way, Carolyn, on the box flower remedies and the, you know, with the idea that there was a little bit of whatever ails you in those remedies, so to speak, or that's not the whole way that they worked, but you know what I mean, that there's the idea that you take a little bit in of something that isn't apparently congruent with you, and then you are able to maybe welcome it and not be juxtaposed to it in a negative way.
The holy offices of the homeopath.
So homeopathy and Bach flowers with their little bits of thing, are they mainly placebo ion?
Yes.
Oh, brother. Oh, gosh.
Isn't that good, though, Carolyn? Doesn't everything, I mean, mostly what's worked till now is placebo is the best thing around.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
A placebo is very rarely given rats cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the safest thing. I had used to have patients who'd come into the office and tell me their problem and say, you know, just give me a placebo. That's all I want.
They would say that?
They would say that, well, you know, because they were smart.
Well, ion, RNA drops are just mere placebo, right?
No, computer says no.
Yay, we made the cut. We made the cut, Allison. We're something that's required.
I had a couple of really horrendous things happen physically, and I've healed pretty quickly, and a lot of people are like, well, what? How does that happen? I said, oh, I'm taking this stuff called RNA drops. And they're like, well, where can I find it? They don't even ask what it is.
Okay, wait a minute. They go, where can I find it? They go, where can I find it? Do they go to the website in order, or are you saying they don't?
I don't know. I give them the website. I have a quick question about some crystal bowls and their frequencies.
Block crystal is the best.
Block crystal is the best. Okay, so not bowls.
No. Bowls, block is a maker.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Is there a particular frequency to engage more than another? Or does it depend on what we want to accomplish?
Depends on what you want to accomplish.
Okay.
And are crystal bowls, placebos, ion?
It can be.
I thought maybe they'd be different, Carolyn, because there is the frequency that's involved. You know, the literal tonality.
That's what they say about homeopathy, that homeopathics have this frequency because they're succussed and have a certain resonance.
Yeah.
Okay,
true.
So ion, energy medicine, vibrational frequency, homeopathy, even acupuncture, do they work the placebo effect through their frequency and vibration?
They may, but that's kind of going at the wrong way.
What's the right way to go about it?
go to Block Crystal and find out what percentage of lead is in that crystal, and it'll give the frequency that she's actually asking for. If it's 7.4382%, and then you know. Sorry, you hadn't quite asked. You hadn't quite asked the question yet. We're sorry.
So block crystal lead content is what we're looking for.
That's going to come up as like 24% or better.
And you're perfectly correct. So do you want 24%?
That's fine, but that's what we're talking about, the amount of actual lead. It's 24% lead crystal. That's the amount of lead that's in the piece. But we're talking about the lead that's in the 24% lead. That's what we're talking about. And that affects the frequency.
And the amount of lead in the lead, is we're looking for 7.4382?
Yes.
Wow. There you go, Allison.
I would gather from what you said, then, if it says 24%, that the 7% is already included in that, so you don't have to go any farther, because it sounds like they may not be revealing it based on what you would be doing, like the 7 points.
Yeah, block is pretty good, but see, you have different places. There's some in Poland. There's some in different places, so it's a little bit different. But if it's stamped block, it's pretty much pretty close to good.
So you're talking about where the crystal is mined or gathered?
No, we're talking about the pieces, the actual pieces of crystal. They're marked.
Okay.
And this business about the frequency is created by the amount of lead, and I was going about it the wrong way, and you said the right way is to know the percentage, and where do we get with that 7.4 blah percent relates to the body in what way, Ion?
You'll probably end up with the same amount of lead in you.
Well, people have more lead these days. You know, it's everywhere. We're breathing it in. So
we're so happy. Congratulations. You've won. You've won. You've won. You're doing exceedingly and abundantly well.
So then that would make the use of this type of crystal for any sort of therapeutic purposes very variable if you have to match it to your own lead content in your body.
No, there is no therapeutic use. It's just proper. Use it properly. Enjoy crystal. Have rose bowls. Have bowls. Have crystal punch bowls. Have high living. That's what gods do. And, you know, be good.
Okay, so you buy the beautiful crystal, cut crystal, you have it around, and it looks good, and it also just happens to make you feel good, possibly, correct?
Those energies will have a positive effect. That's some people who collect it and get really into it. They like it when they're around it or when they go into like the crystal shops. They're raised because of that frequency, and they just love it. They want to rub it, and it's great. They just don't know why, and they are drawn to certain types more than another. It's pretty groovy.
Okay, so that would explain the crystal liquors and they feel good, so then they sort of promote the crystals and gems as healing, whereas they're just a fine frequency, correct?
Well, we're talking about the crystal is in the glass, like Waterford.
Can you talk about the other gems that people use as
healing? Hold it. Hey, Carol.
Yeah.
I want to bring in Kevin, who wants to talk about the pericardium to see if this relates. Go ahead, Kevin.
Very good. Are you there? Yes,
Kevin, right?
We are here.
Oh, yeah. Ion, isn't it interesting that I actually got to see what my pericardium looks like?
Not very interesting to us, but we're thrilled that you're thrilled.
Well, no, it's not really a big deal, but it has been a conversation over a period of weeks. And to actually see the pericardium and how it surrounds the meat sac of the heart. It would appear as a portion of the ionosphere around the planet, because it's just such a narrow thread. And when I asked the gal when we were doing the observation, I said, well, if the heart were too, and you had mentioned to me, sometimes the heart can grow and push and put pressure on that band. And she said, well, no, it just kind of gives with it. So what's your observation of that?
You don't have an observation of it.
Apparently there isn't one needed, is there?
Apparently.
Well, we saw the echo heart that they did on me last week, and I saw the beating and the pumping and the blue and the red. Is there anything in that observation that you're aware of that you could tell me that they don't know?
They think you're going to have a little affair, but you don't.
Well, I got Dr. Dean's magnesium. It's just rocket ship for me. It works real well.
Yes, we know, happily.
Would you suggest that there's something I should know that I don't?
It will come to you in time.
Well, what the hell does time have to do with it?
It's a little man's perspective to find things that you don't think you have, that you really had all along, but you didn't know that you had it, so you couldn't know that you got it, so you couldn't have it because you didn't know you didn't have it till you didn't know. And then when you knew there was no time, then you could have it now and you didn't have to wait. So now it's a timed event. So the timed event moves you to a place where you knew all along. Now you know that you knew that you knew that you know that you knew, so that you won't have to have a timing hookup or making it happen for you. Something like that.
So would there be a point where I would not need you? Are you facilitating me now?
Well, we'd like to say ooh, and we don't care to.
Well, I'm not trying to be unkind.
No, we know, but that's not the point. But the point is that you come back to a place very quickly where you go, oh, you come to your own arm, and then you don't need ours.
Well, then, if I'm in my power, that's okay. You're a very kind friend. You're welcome
along the way. You'll already know. It'll be absorbed.
Well, that's all very good, you know. I mean, you're a real good buddy pal, you know. Excuse me, if there's anything you can do to assist me in this regard, I would certainly appreciate it. And I do communicate with you daily, as you know.
We do.
So please suggest something to me then, because it seems like if I'm still a little man, I would want you to suggest something, and isn't it silly that I would even ask?
Eat avocados.
Okay. But you know I appreciate you greatly. You must know that.
Yeah. Oh, we do. It's great fun. Eat some more guacamole. Eat some more avocados.
And why would that be beneficial for me?
Dr. Dean will tell you how much folic acid is in it.
Okay, well then folic acid is a good thing. And
they take folic acid. We said eat avocados.
Okay, very good. Well, all right.
Hey, Kevin, what is the issue here that you want help on? You looked at the pericardium, and what happened?
See, this was interesting. We kind of resolved that it's a non-issue, other than that everyone has a beating heart, and most people think their life depends on it, and it becomes very, very apparent when a person pays attention to their beating heart. And Ion has many comments in regard to this. And it's become a real issue for me, as Ion knows very well, because I had a time when I hardly even had a beating heart, as he knows very well. Here, Ion, tell me, did I have a blood disease, or what caused that weakness of my heart? But would you please tell me?
Well, we'll be forward and say you were, because you were almost a heartless bastard.
I was almost heartless.
Yeah, and you're supposed to laugh now.
Well, that's okay. That's funny.
Well,
that's
it is
good.
Hysterical. And then you arrive
and
from that.
And you can sing it in G.
You take a bass. Yeah, in the key
you
of G.
You can sing it
right.
in G.
And then what happens is, and then you find out when you stop hitting yourself in the head with a bat, there was relief, and that felt good. And then you visceral and decided to be visceral and tactile in your meat sack body and live, actually engage in this frivolity called living. And then you get on this road to Wellville, and you still have your little questions hither and there, and that's all kind of going and good. But somehow you haven't separated from your meat sack body yet, and we're very surprised. So let's go with it. Just go with it. It's good.
So what is it you're surprised about?
That you're just now asking us about the avocado.
Well, no, but see, why in the hell do I give a shit about a meat sack body?
That's the issue that got you down this far down the rabbit hole.
Why is a meat sack body even allowed to be a rabbit hole?
Well, because you like to mix it up. We don't understand it either. It's the silliest thing we've ever seen. You have a perfect body that does perfectly, reparates itself. Then you turn around every day and worried about this. Red wine will kill you. Red wine will save you. Cigarettes blow you up. Marijuana's okay. This isn't good. That's bad. That's up. That's down. This in, this out. This over, this under. It's everything a rabbit can do to a stump. So you keep spinning the shit, and we say eat the shit and enjoy your meat sack body and get happy in this world that you're in, or get the fuck out. It's easy. Because if you're going to stay, then have fun with it. If you're not, then get out. It's real simple. Then you don't have
okay.
to take nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to lick nothing. You don't have to engage nothing. You're so busy out of here, you're out of here. You don't have to be bothered with it. But if you are
I
interested
agree.
In the fun
yeah.
part, then do the fun part and engage it at those levels. And little cheers, little bits come, and little things in your communication as we communicate. We have these little hinty things, and you're very, very good at that part. Kind of intuit or pick up on or feel it and kind of go, we don't have to hit you in the head to get your attention. This is good. however, we want to be more seamless. You get in that goddamn bed and, oh, Lord Jesus God, it's just one thing after another. Quiet yourself and get off of that mess because you get up worse than you go to bed. It's to decompress. Take a pill, do something, go to sleep.
Well, don't you see that I'm trying to do that?
Well, we know. That's why we're encouraging it, so it's good for you. But don't be billing it that you need to do something, or you're supposed to do something, or you're likely to do something, or it'd be better if you did do something.
Well,
that's
you always told me.
Sideways.
See, no, but see, you told me that I overthink and I overcompensate. And I think
yeah,
probably
and,
most
and
meat
now,
sack bodies
good.
Do that, too.
Well,
but no,
well,
but you did tell me that.
And we know, and now we're saying, you got, now that you know that, don't make that be the moniker. Don't make that be the driver.
No. I agree. I understand. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's cool. That's
so sip your red wine out of at least 24% lead crystal.
Okay, so now what do you think about my intake of RNA drops? Do you think that most people that are as fucked up as I am should be taking more, or because I'm so good I don't need so much? What do you suggest?
Well, keep playing with it until it suits your engine, because we're going to soon say, just take a teaspoonful every day. Boom.
Well, I'm kind of working on that right now.
It's working real good.
Okay,
so
here I am.
Tell me
what's going on.
Slow and easy with it, because you can overcompensate for yourself. So,
well, I know because you always told me not to do that.
Right.
See,
well,
most people
do
overcompensate.
Yeah. So kind of go with it the same way for a bit, and then adjust a little bit more, a little bit less, and then do that same amount for a while. Then what happens is you kind of go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, and then you ease into it. And then everybody around you is dying with the croup and the cold and the flu and the, every other bother in the world and the snow.
Yeah, they're all sick.
And they're dripping snot out of their damn nose, and their ears bleed, and then they get the runs, and it's just, oh, and they're hacking up shit. It's like, bleh. And they're like spitting at little geckos out in the yard with these big old fur balls that they're pulling up out of their mucus-laced nests.
Well, yeah.
And this inspection, not past relevant cesspool of a spit-monger mess.
Yeah, people
but
aren't
you don't have that trouble. It's amazing, huh?
No, I don't have any of that stuff. I don't have any of those issues. I'm just a pretty good guy.
Well, that's relative. So good. And then what happens is you start enjoying this thing called living. That's where we want to get you to, because that's the only part that you're missing now is the fun parts.
But don't you see how ready I am for that? Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It is very cool. It's very, very cool. So,
is my alignment in my association with my cosine and all of that business, I was a half off. Where am I now in that regard?
But it's getting better. If you're looking at it from a rearview mirror, head on, you're off just a bit. But otherwise, it's catching up very quickly.
So would you prognosis say that I may survive?
If you want to, we'd like that for you.
Don't you understand I communicate with you? You obviously know that.
We do, and that's why we find it odd that we'd have to tell you to eat avocados. Why didn't you already hear that?
Well, you know, I used to, but I kind of got away. But I will get back.
Do that's all good. It's all good. That's fine. It's good because you know how we go.
So,
don't you worry. We will bury you anywhere you want to go. Don't you worry. It's
well, you know, right, but you know, if you're going to be a buddy of mine, I would like you to help me carry on in my meat sack body.
Yeah,
I want to build my
that.
Kingdom.
Good.
Is there anything wrong with me building my kingdom, Ion? Is there anything wrong in that regard?
Nothing. Make it bigger. Ever what you're thinking, make it bigger.
And am I going to get a good big paycheck?
What does a paycheck have to do with your kingdom?
Really nothing.
Right. So we don't care about your paycheck. Then you'll just get sideways with your taxes, and then you'll have a kingdom that'll be so taxed that you can't afford your kingdom. Then you'll be like Mata Hari. James Dean.
Well, it could be aggravating, I'm sure, but J.W. must surely handle it also.
All is well. He does what he does.
Well, if you had to deal with such matters, how would you do it?
From levels of bliss to levels of bliss.
Are you learning those?
No. We don't learn.
Oh, you don't learn?
They don't learn.
Come on. Ion, come on.
Well, okay, Ion, you are creating. You've come forth and you're not in the guff. You're creating. Is that a learning process for you?
No, because if you're trying to acquire knowledge or a skill by study, instruction, or experience, we aren't doing that at all.
Do I affect you in any manner?
We like you embraced with us, but no. We're trying to make you feel good and say absolutely, but no. It doesn't make any difference because you already are. Because you already
are. Well, I don't need your approval. I know I'm okay. But
good.
It's kind of nice to get a pat on the back.
When you get a little more tactile and visceral in your meat sack body, then what happens? You'll be able to pat yourself on the back. Won't that be great?
Okay, so do you think it was a mistake for me to walk away from the opportunity that I had in New York City to become a professional singer? Was that an error in your mind?
Never, never. That was never.
Was it correct for me to assume that all I needed
never
to do was satisfy
never
myself?
Never correct for you to assume.
Okay, well then help me figure out what you know I'm trying to say. Was it okay for me to be satisfied that I had achieved something that I thought in whatever weird way was an approval in regard to my status, in regard to myself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're trying to prove that you're wonderful, and you are, and you win, and good. That's great. Agree.
But see, people always want me to do more. You know, they always said, you should do more. We expect more of you. And people are many times in such a situation. No matter what they did, if they satisfied themselves, someone else will always come along and say, well, you could have done more, you know, and such and such. So isn't that silly?
Well, it's relative.
It's relative.
Yeah, it is, certainly. It certainly is.
Or you can be like Dr. Dean, who does everything in the whole wide world, runs the universe, runs everything about it, and just pissed as a wet hen when she doesn't get every single thing done every single time. Busy as a bee, well, if something's happening, and she's on it like a bad habit. People have
forced it. She's very difficult to live with.
When she don't get her way, you'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, when she don't get her way.
So here, Ion, isn't it a good idea?
Kevin? Kevin, you know how I bounce off the Carolyn's hyperactivity? I don't do anything, Kevin.
I know. It's so cool.
It works.
It's so cool.
Except eat ice cream.
She doesn't know that.
Except eat ice cream.
That.
If Carolyn gives him the money for the ice cream, then he'll eat ice cream. But if she doesn't give him the money, then he'll eat ice cream.
Yeah, and what Bob doesn't know, Ion and Kevin, is that I found his quart of ice cream in the garage fridge. I've already started working on it.
I tried to hide it from her. I had some ice cream last week during the show, and I decided, well, I like it. So I went and got some yesterday secretly, and she thought she caught me, but I had a cover story.
So,
but the point is, she's out there getting other stuff. I said, uh-oh, she might find ice cream. So you're out there eating it, Carol?
Yep.
Well, you get the hell down to that store and buy me a fucking gallon before you go to bed tonight, okay? That's why I hide it from you, because you take it.
Bob, the fight is on. Bob, you never knew that ice cream was going to become so much a part of your life.
That's true. Exactly. This is the best ice cream. I could live on it.
We go through this with Puffs and Snickerbottom.
Well, now, does Carolyn like the ice cream?
Yeah.
Does she even eat it? Carolyn, do you even eat the ice cream?
I like his ice cream, but it's a chocolate fudge peanut butter cup vanilla, and I have to have it with some sorbet as well to balance out the richness. So
okay.
I'll only take a little bit of it. You know, Bob will go out and see, oh, she just had a couple of tablespoons full. Oh,
no, that's
five.
Okay, good. Okay,
yeah.
So do you like the tilapia that come from the organic fish aquatic farm that you get? Do you guys eat the tilapia?
Just when I've been in restaurants, I've eaten it. But, yes, I'm interested, actually, in there's a farm that I know, and they have a tilapia pond. So it is starting to take off over here in Maui.
It's so new that most people don't even realize how viable
it's a filthy fish.
It's a filthy fish?
It eats shit. That's what it consumes, is shit.
Well, shrimp are the worst, aren't they?
Depends on the filter.
But, see, that's a biodynamic cycle. That actually is a perfect
Well, you told us
fish
to eat shit. Ion, well, we so what the hell do you care?
We didn't. We just said it's a filthy fish. So we didn't say don't engage it. We just say it's a filthy fish. That's all.
What's filthy?
Exactly.
Ion, describe what filthy is.
Look it up.
Well, no, that's your opinion.
You're
the one
that filthy
the term.
Is bad.
We could look up any definition, but you're the one that picked the term. Why is it filthy?
Uh-oh, Bob went out to the garage, you guys. I got to hide.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. If you hear some screaming, you just cover for me, Ion.
What is it? Isn't that ice cream? It's all gone. There was only this much left.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Somebody stole my damn ice cream.
I've been saving all this all along. It's like, oh,
some
God,
bitch.
Oh, God, just don't let him get in the library and everything will be okay.
What do you say, Bob? What do you say? Am I okay? Will I survive the night?
I'm not talking to you.
He's not talking to me.
He don't have nothing to say.
Hey, Ion, let me ask you a question.
Right.
Carolyn, you know I love you dearly. I did this, the Echo Heart, and I got to see the picture and the bandwidth, which basically is a very narrow bandwidth of what the pericardium is that surrounds the meat sack of the heart, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I was actually looking at it, and now I became knowledgeable about such matters because of all of this stuff that we've been doing.
Yeah, do you want to say why you had the heart echo or ultrasound?
It was an annual review because I had I was at 10% heart
ejection
function.
Ejection fraction? Ejection fraction? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
About 4 years ago. And
what
now
do you
I'm
to
at
now?
50. And they okay. say that average is 50 to 75. So I'm you know, whatever their measurements are, I don't know. And that's why I was asking in regard to the pericardium thing, I was asking Ion in regard to his observation of the tests that I had last week and what he would have to say about it that they didn't tell me because, you know, they don't tell me much. But the pericardium is just a really simple, small little white band around the heart, and you only can see it I'm sure there's other ways you can see it, but since it's coming up in discussion, I actually could see it, so it was very interesting. And I don't know, I didn't, you know, I don't really know where to go with that other than I was just initially asked Ion, I said, is there anything in that you saw that I'm not aware of? And it didn't seem like he really had a whole lot to say about it, so I guess I don't know.
Well, I looked it up, the pericardium, they said the layer, there's a parietal layer and a visceral layer. The combined thickness is 2 millimeters or less. If it were 4 millimeters, they would say that you had thickness of your pericardium. So, yeah, it is a tiny. Well, 2 millimeters, that's something. I mean, don't forget you're looking at an echocardiogram, so it's,
Well, actually, you know, the gal that did this has done mine some time ago, you know, year and a half or so, and obviously she does this all day long every day, so she doesn't know until she goes back and reviews, but it was interesting to see how a narrow band that is and to be able to actually visualize it under a digital photograph. So as much conversation has been going on about the heart and all of that matter about the heart and what surrounds it and what affects it, it's just real interesting to actually see it. where you can actually visualize it.
And that's all great, but the trouble is medicine is usually not a learning experience. In your case, it sounds like this woman, you know, she'll talk to you and all the rest of it, but usually when people go into the doctor, they're told the bad things. You know, the doctors are looking for something that's wrong.
Okay, so Karen, what is the pericardium there in that image? That little white line?
It would be like, Ion would understand this extremely well.
Yeah, here
it's like
here.
The little bandwidth of atmosphere that surrounds the entire
like the
planet of
ring.
The Earth.
Like the 14th ring, Bob.
Okay, very good,
ring,
Bob.
Right. Yeah, that's a little...
Very good,
little,
Ion. Ion, I knew you would know. I knew you would understand, okay? So what is that little band around the heart have to do in relative term, Ion, to a bigger picture?
Nothing. It's the outer covalent rayon of the 14th ring. It's what separates your heart from your meat sack body.
Does it relate to the hypothalamus in some way, Ion? In those conversations?
It would. In a pineal gland, it would.
But it's not that significant. Or the relationship is significant.
Nah,
the relationship is significant.
Jerk it out and put another one in. That's what allows you to do that is the pericardium.
But the relationship between the hypothalamus, the pericardium, and the pineal gland is significant? I would
tend to say,
no parts of the body are significant compared to the ascended living style.
The ascended living, those things are going to perfect. And you ain't had orgasms till you have those kind of orgasms. They'll get you going.
So it perfects the organs of the body. Body, the imagery. Okay.
Here, Ion, let me ask you this question. Is my heart going to kill me?
Yeah, I think so.
Is my heart going to kill me, Ion?
Only if you want it to.
I think Ion's insulted by that question, Kevin. You're not answering.
Well, he should never be insulted. I'm brave enough to ask the goddamn question.
Well, like you drove Ion away.